In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A third grade teacher in a Lutheran school in the Midwest had her students write an essay that explained God to the rest of the class. One of her students wrote as follows: "One of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die, so that there will be enough people to take care of things on the earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think that's because they're smaller and easier to make. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on since some people, like pastors, pray at times other than bedtime. God doesn't have time to listen to the radio or watch TV because of this. Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on water and performing miracles, but people got tired of him preaching to them and they crucified him. But he was good and kind, like his father, and he told his father that they didn't know what they were doing and to forgive them, and God said, okay. His dad, God, appreciated everything that he had done and all the hard work on earth, so he told him he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay at home in heaven. And so he did. And now he helps his dad out by listening to prayers and answering them. Now you can pray anytime you want because they got it worked out. So one of them is on duty all the time." So if someone were to ask you to tell them what God is like, explain God to me, what would you say? How would you answer? Would you recite the Athanasian Creed as you just did? I think if it was me, I would probably start with the Apostles' Creed, maybe the Nicene Creed if I felt brave. But today is Trinity Sunday, and today neither the Apostles' Creed nor the Nicene Creed will do. Today it's the Athanasian Creed that we use to explain who God is. The Catholic faith is this: that we worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. So today is a day that is devoted to the consideration of who God is. If we have trouble expressing who God is, it may well be because this is not the way that we're used to talking or thinking about God. Rather, we're much more used to speaking about God in terms of what God does, rather than who God is. We are, after all, practical people. We are at heart utilitarians, and we want to know, what does God do for me? How does God benefit my life? So when asked about God, we typically speak fairly easily and quickly about my goals in life and my accomplishments to date and my trials and my troubles and how God has helped me in all of these ways. It's important, we think, to be religious, because that's the way you get God to do what you want him to do for you. Good sermons are those that tell us how to put God to work in our marriage, in our jobs, in our troubles, in our conflicts. And so I wonder, have we lost sight of the much more biblical view of religion that worships God simply because of who he is? Reading through the Old and the New Testaments, I can't help but be struck by how much of the church's worship consists of simply recalling and naming the attributes of God. His justice is full of power. He is love. He is full of wisdom. He is mercy. It is only after focusing on who God is that we hear the prophets and the apostles give thanks to God for what he does for us. God, who is light, calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God, who is eternal life, brings us out of death and mortality into his life and immortality. True religion is always God-centered, never man-centered. It is God who is all in all, not you or me. God loves us for his own sake, for his own delight, for his own good pleasure. We tend to think that God exists in order to please us. But the scriptures make it clear that God created man for his own good pleasure, and that we exist in order to please God. So Trinity Sunday is a wonderful corrective to our worship that always wants to veer off course and focus on ourselves rather than upon God. Today, with the help of the Athanasian Creed, we worship one God in three persons and three persons in one God, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. We say who God is. God is Father, who called the world into existence through the Son, by whom all things were made, and apart from whom nothing has been made that has been made. The Son sends the Holy Spirit into this world that he has created, and the Holy Spirit preserves all things in heaven and on earth, and he keeps the one true church in this one true faith. Since the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are three divine persons in perfect unity with one another, we can then say the exact same thing that we have just said backwards, and it still comes out just right. The Holy Spirit carries out the mission of the Son by opening the hearts and the minds of men and women, boys and girls, to believe that Jesus is true God, the Son of God. And through this gift of faith, the Son covers us in his righteousness and presents us to the Father, holy and righteous in his sight. Or, if you want to put it another way, and since the Father is fully God, and the Son is fully God, and the Holy Spirit is fully God, you can explain who God is like this. The Son has come down from heaven and entered into our humanity, and by his death, the Holy Spirit was released into the world. The Holy Spirit, working through the Word and the sacraments, conforms us into the image of the Son, and makes us beloved sons and daughters of God the Father Almighty. So rather than dwell on how God is at work in my life, this morning we dwell on how God has taken us into his triune life. Rather than proclaiming how God has helped me accomplish my will, this morning we proclaim that God has taken me into his will and how his will has been done. And so along with St. Paul, we say, in him we live and move and have our being. This is what Jesus is commanding his apostles to proclaim just before he ascends to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Through holy baptism, the apostles bring men and women, boys and girls, into the triune God. It seems as though I have been hearing more and more recently a lot of talk about having God in my life, or finding God in my life. And I see children of God getting a bit stressed out about all of this because, frankly, they're not sure how to find God in their life. And they're wondering whether or not God really is in my life. The problem, I think, is the scriptures do not talk about God in our life like this at all. They talk about our life in God. We find our life in God, right where God has taken us, found us, placed us in our baptism. Paul writes to the Colossians saying, "For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." So, to find our life in God is an altogether different thing, I think, than to find God in our life. Finding God in my life is very hard to do. You can never be sure whether or not you've actually found God or not. Luther says that God hides behind masks. God remains hidden from us. We cannot see God like we'd like to see him. We cannot find God like we'd like to find him. When I try to find God in my life, I put my life in the very center of my view. And I'm constantly examining my life to see if I can find God in it or not. But when I find myself in God, well then, everything changes. I can find myself in God simply by pointing to my baptism. God's word and promise is sure and certain, and when God says, "You have been baptized into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," I can rest assured that I am absolutely sure of where I am. I am in the triune God. And to be sure that my life is hidden with Christ in God frees me from having to worry and fret about finding God in my life. Taken into the divine sanctuary of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I ask you, what do we have to worry and fret about? Rather, we rest secure. We are content with what we have. We know that nothing can harm us, not even death itself, because the Almighty One, the Omniscient One, the Omnipresent One, the God who is love, has taken us into himself. He is before all things, and he is after all things. So, after all my trials and troubles have come and gone, after all my successes and failures in life have been counted up, after all the days that God has appointed for me have been counted down, I am still with God and in God, and he is still there, and I am in him. So today, we lift up our hearts unto the Lord, as we are ushered into the glory of God in the highest, where with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. We laud and magnify, that is, we make it big before our eyes. God the Father, who gives his only Son by the power of the Holy Spirit for the redemption of his whole creation. We laud and magnify God the Holy Spirit, who broadcasts the name of Jesus Christ and him crucified to the ends of the earth, so that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We laud and magnify God the Son, who in perfect and willing obedience to the Father's will took on our humanity and suffered, was crucified, died, was buried, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, from where he sends the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. Through holy baptism, this triune God has taken us into his triunity. All that belongs to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit has been given to you. And if that doesn't change our perspective on everything, then I'm not sure what will. From within the triune God, we realize that the world does not revolve around us like we thought that it did. We see clearly that all those things of the world that we thought that we would die if we didn't get are meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. We see that every worry and care about our life, over what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear, even about our life itself, is simply nothing to worry about. Don't worry that for now we cannot comprehend all of this, all that it means. Don't worry that for right now you just cannot take it all in. When you get to heaven, the incomprehensible will become comprehensible perfectly. For now, however, it's enough to know in this eternal, uncreated, almighty Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that our mortality has been swallowed up by his immortality, that our death has been transfigured into his life, and our disintegrating bodies have been all resurrected into Christ's glorious body. And so that we may continually be assured and reassured that our life is hidden with Christ in God, Jesus instituted the sacrament of the altar. Here, as long as we live on this side of heaven, we receive a foretaste of the heaven to come in a real-time participation of the Father sending his Son into our life for the forgiveness of our sins, as the Holy Spirit brings the body and the blood of Jesus for us to eat and drink. In this same Holy Communion, God the Father sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts, and we cry out, Abba, Father. In the same Holy Spirit, we confess that Jesus Christ is our brother, and in his name, we come before his Father and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hidden with Christ in God, we are united with all those who are likewise hidden, with all the saints on earth who are alive right now, with all the saints who are not yet born. We are there with everyone who has gone before us in the faith, along with all of the angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven. We join our voice with theirs to laud and magnify the holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.